Morning. Today's daf in Shabbos daf Pei Beis. Yesterday, the Gemara had an extensive discussion about personal hygiene regarding Shabbos and just in general. What would be bad for the personal for the person's GI tract? And it would seem like the Gemara over here is not discussing Divrei Torah, words of Torah, but the Gemara is just giving some medical advice, some health advice. And it would also seem that the Gemara speaks about this matter extensively. Well, the news for the day is we haven't done. We're not even done. We're about halfway through, and the Gemara continues with this discussion. And if you're thinking to yourself, oh, this isn't Torah. That sounds like sound medical advice. And even nowadays, who knows if it's all this will help us nowadays? So you'll be happy to know that there's an Amora in the Gemara who basically is bothered by the same issue. Although, as you'll see over the course of today's daf, the Gemara goes on to say he's not correct. All this is beyond sound advice. This is the Gemara says this is extraordinarily significant and important information. Okay, and to the discussion that we had yesterday, it all is based on the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about moving around on Shabbos, carrying on Shabbos bones, solid materials, bone and glass and stones. Now, stones in the time of the Gemara were basically the means in which a person wiped himself after he went to the bathroom. And so it led the discussion in the Gemara to wiping oneself with stones on Shabbos. The problem is that stones are muktzah. And the Chachamim prohibited the moving of muksa. So how can a person wipe himself with stones if stones are muksa? The answer, which the Gemara said, is kavod abrios. Kavod abrios, human dignity, is an extraordinarily important value in the Torah. And kavod abrios is docha losa, say. It negates, it overrides a negative prohibition. This is one of the last things we saw in yesterday's daf. And so therefore, with the pit with the decision of either kavod abrios or violating a derabanan, so the Gemara says kavod abrios is going to win out. So you have an opportunity to preserve your human dignity. You'll do so even at the expense of an issa derabanan. Muksa is an issa derabanan. So therefore, kavod abrios is going to win out. That's the short of yesterday's discussion, and we continue with yesterday's discussion. Today we're on Pei Aleph Amud Beis, and we're starting towards the top of the Amud. Amar Rav Huna. It's about 8-9 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara yesterday noted there's a small discrepancy between using stones for wiping yourself versus using a toothpick in terms of removing something from between your teeth. Meaning, obviously, you walk around on Shabbos, or for that matter, any day of the week, and there's something stuck between your teeth. So that's also human dignity. It's also the covenant of brios. To that, the Gemara says, yeah, but with a toothpick, you need a toothpick. You knew you're going to need a toothpick, so therefore, before Shabbos, you should have set aside the toothpicks. But in terms of stones, you don't know exactly where you're going to the bathroom. Remember, back then, there was no designated area for the bathroom. The bathroom simply meant you went outside. You don't exactly know where you're going to go to the bathroom, so the Chachamim were much more makel in terms of you can pick up whatever stone you want in order to wipe yourself. Good. That was yesterday's discussion. Amar Rav Huna, and the Gemara is continuing. Asa lefanos b'sadanir b'Shabbos. So a person cannot go to the bathroom and stay near. In other words, the field was plowed. It went through its first plowing. It stands to be planted. So my time, the Gemara wants to know, what is the reason behind Rav Huna's prohibition? So, Ilei Memishum Davsha is the issue of Davsha, Rashi explains. You're in your friend's field. And what's going to be happening now is that it'll be difficult now for the plow to go through. In other words, you're going to be ruining your friend's field. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's not a Shabbos issue. That would be an issue any day of the week if you were, in fact, ruining your friend's property. So the Gemara says the problem is because of a Savim. The problem is that when you pick up a stone, there's going to be grass on the stone, and the chances are is that you're going to be removing grass from the ground that it grows on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay, but what's the problem with that? In fact, Reish Lakish says that if you pick up a stone and there happens to be grass on the stone, and in the course of wiping, the grass is going to come off the stone, that's fine. Now you can't pluck something off of it, and if you pluck something off of it, you'll be chayev. I'll come back to that word chayiv in just a moment. But I'm sorry, chayiv chatas. Eladilma naket me'ila v'shadalatasai u'mechayiv mishum rabam. So the Gemara now has to give some sort of explanation within Rav Huna, meaning why does Rav Huna say that it's going to be prohibited? why is it going to be prohibited to go into your friend's field that was just plowed? So the problem is, says the Gemara, is that you may take a piece of clump of dirt, and which was from a mound, you may put it back into a hole, a recessed hole in the ground, and you'll be accomplishing the malacha of Choresh on Shabbos. Okay, so in other words, the prohibition of Rav Huna of going in your friend's plowed field is that the only concern is that you may add to the malacha of Choresh, but outside of that, there's no problem whatsoever. Okay, we're going to go back to the statement by Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish now is talking about using a stone which has grass growing on it. Okay, stone may not be the right word, meaning a mound of earth, a clod of earth, with some grass on it. Gufa Amar Reish Lakish Shor Shalobo Savim Mutal Kanech Bo V'atosh Mimena B'Shabbos Chayiv Chatas. Now we go to the statement where if I take the grass off of this, if I pluck it off of it, as some Chayiv Chatas. So Amar Apapi Shma Minam Mid Reish Lakish. So now the Gemara says, let's take a moment to consider the following. Hi Pir Pisa. I have a flower pot. And the flower pot, Charlotte Tule. What I can do with this flower pot is pick it up on Shabbos. So, the how do we get from point A to point B? Meaning, wiping yourself with a rock that has grass on it now takes us to, you're allowed to pick up a flower pot on Shabbos. So, first of all, a couple of things. Rashi over here says, and when describing the flower pot, high pure piece, I read Rashi inside, Atzitz Nakuv. So Rashi says we're talking about it's perforated. Okay, now here's what we know. Let's start with the basics. If I take anything that grows out of the ground, any vegetation that grows out of the ground, and pull out of the ground, that's a malacha on Shabbos. You're chayiv. That's tolish. Here now we're talking about vegetation that's grown in a pot. So now the basic guidelines are as follows: if the pot has holes in it, if it's a perforated pot, so that's considered, as long as it's placed on the ground, that it's yinika, that its sustenance comes from the ground itself. So here we're talking about otzitz nakuv, says Rashi, shezarabo, v'chuvas agonim atzasi sheosim, tochelos mikapas tamarim, umamalam asam afer v'zebo behema, and I'm sorry, the next part of Rashi, we don't need to go through inside Rashi, of course, the chuvas hagaonim, in terms of describing what this is, but for the time, for our purposes, let's just call this a flower pot. Now, what the Gemara now would like to suggest is the fact that you're allowed to wipe yourself with a stone even though the stone has grass on it, and even though you'll be ripping off grass off the mound of earth that you're wiping yourself with, brings us to the conclusion that you can also take the flower pot, which has holes on it, which receives its sustenance from the ground, and pick it up on Shabbos if you would like to move it on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, wow, those two are not necessarily the same. Maskifla Rav Kahana, Imam Lutzarech, Yomru Shalol Lutzarech. First of all, when we're talking about wiping yourself, that's kinuach, that's an issue of kavod abrios. Meaning, again, we go back to the basic point that for human dignity, so you're allowed to violate Isurei Derabanan. And the And gripping grass off of it may happen, but again, that's talking about kavod abrios. Over here, to pick up a pot, to move a pot where you don't really need to move the pot, so the Gemara says that to get from point A to point B, that's a bit of a stretch. Okay, so let's start. So Amar Abai Pirpirsa Hov Asal Yedan Lema Ba Milsa. So Abai says, let's talk a little bit more about that. Pirpirsa Hayamunach Agabi Karka V'Nicho Agabi Yesedos Mechayiv Mishum Tolish Hayamunach Agabi Yesedos V'Nicho Agabi Karka Chayiv Mishum Noteya. So and now, as long as we're discussing the perforated plant, the perforated pot, so now let's take two halachas. Halacha number one is that if I take it off the ground and put it on top of pegs, so that's tolish, I uprooted. If it was on pegs and I put it down on the ground, that's planting, that's noteya. So in other words, getting it away from the ground, you just uprooted. Putting it near to the ground, that's planting, that's noreya, and then you're going to be chayiv. Now, We've been throwing around the word chayev a lot, and the truth of the matter is that you didn't put it in the ground. In other words, you put it away from the ground, closer to the ground, but you didn't put it in the ground. So when the Gemara now has been using the terminology of chayev, like how literally are we to take the Gemara when the Gemara says chayev? So Rashi says, Rashi chayev mishum tolesh, it's a little bit further down the page, it's about two-thirds down on the page. Last word in the line in Rashi is chayev, chayev mishum tolesh, te'enu nana shuv merecha karka v'lim yiret. Seems to me, says Rashi, Dahai chayev lav davka, that when the Gemara uses the words chayev, do not take the Gemara super literally. Ela asa mishum de'dam le'tolesh. It looks like you're uprooting, but that's not real uprooting. Real uprooting means something's in the ground and I take it out of the ground. Here, I'm just taking the pond and moving it further away from the ground. It's nearer. It looks like tolish. And Rashi says, and further evidence that this is correct is the following. Look, just a couple of moments ago, we said that if the grass is on the stone, so you could wipe yourself. Why? Because of Kavod HaBrios. Look, the extent of Kavod HaBrios, as we discussed yesterday and this morning, is that Kavod HaBrios can be docha a derabanan. Kavod, right, moksa. Kavod HaBrios can't override an isadar raisa. So even in the entire discussion that we've been having, moving a pot closer or further away from the ground, we're not talking about real Chilul Shabbos. We're not talking about Issa D'Oraisa. We're talking about a D'Rabbanan. V'dam lo b'masechet Sanhedrin. Now, what you're going to have to do now, in terms of understanding the Gemara the way Rashi did, is that when the Gemara uses the terms like Chayev, usually Chayev means you have violated Issa D'Oraisa, Chayev Skila, or Chayev Karban Chatas. Here, Chayev has to be understood slightly less literally. It's a bit of an issue. Rashi cites a precedent. The Gemara in Sanhedrin uses such terminology of chayev being an issa derabanan. If it helps you understand, Tosos also is bothered by pretty much the same thing. Tosos arrived at the same conclusion Rashi did, that taking a pot and moving it closer or further away from the ground is an issa, but not an issa deraisa. It's an issa derabanan. So why does the Gemara use the word chayev? So Tosos says, it's the third Tosos down, Haimechayev mishum tolish, Haimechayev makas mardus. Yeah, you're going to be liable, says Tosfos, but you know what you're going to be liable? Makas mardus, meaning you'll be subject to lashes. There will be corporal punishment, but not midaraisa, midarabanan. So the chayev can be talking about the makas mardus, could appear to be conscious, as Rashi went on to explain. Okay. If the roots are actually in the ground, so then we're talking about Issa D'Oraisa. Here you're just simply picking the pot up. Okay.
But the grass on the stone is a melacha shenisa v'gufa. You don't really need it.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Gemara doesn't discuss that. The Gemara, right. You really, it was not your, it's right. On top of that. Furthermore, it's not even your intent. Okay. All reasonable points. I'm Rav Yochanan Asal Kanech Becheres B'Shabbos. Rav Yochanan makes the following statement. Now, we've been talking about personal hygiene vis-a-vis stones. Now the Gemara moves on to using not stones, but rather cheres. Cheres is pottery, earthenware. Now, Rav Yochanan says you can't wipe yourself with earthenware on Shabbos. Now, you got to understand the statement in its totality, meaning there's something wrong with earthenware, but specific to Shabbos. So what is the issue? Now, my time, Ilei Mishum Sakana Afil B'chol Nami. Now, if there's some danger involved, So the shards of the pottery are sharp, and you're going to cut yourself, and it's just it presents a personal risk. So Ella, so the Gemara says, "Afil b'chol nami." That's not a Shabbos issue. That's in general, we have to take care of ourselves. So that's not going to be good in terms of explaining Rav Yochanan. Ve'ela mishum kshafim. So the Gemara says it must be kishuf. The issue is sorcery and magic. Now, in ways that I cannot explain, because I'm just simply not versed enough, so wiping oneself with pottery is going to incite sorcery and magic. You will become more susceptible to sorcery and magic. So the Gemara says, now, if that's true, afilu b'chol nami lo. Again, it comes back to the same issue of, that's not a good way to explain Rav Yochanan, because Rav Yochanan says it's a Shabbos issue. If sorcery and magic is the issue, that's an issue the whole week around. So the Gemara says, okay, well, maybe it's the problem, the following. Well, earthenware is very sharp, And what may end up happening on Shabbos is it doesn't pose a personal risk. It's not, you're not in danger for reasons that I cannot explain, nor do I want to overthink it. But in other words, but the problem is that you may cut some of the hairs on your body. And cutting the hairs on your body, that's a melach on Shabbos. And so therefore, you may end up cutting hairs. So the Gemara says, Davishan miskavin hu. The Gemara says, okay, so let's say you end up cutting hairs. He had no intent in cutting those hairs. That's a davishan miskavin. So Amalu Rav Nasan bar Oshia gavar Abamar Milsan Nema Batama. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's not leave this unexplained. Meaning Rav Yochanan said something. He's an Adam Gadol. He's a great person. He must have meant something. We have to give some sort of pshat within Rav Yochanan. Lo mi baye bechol the asar ava b'shabbos hol v'ikatoros kli alav shapir dami kamash malan. So the Gemara says, look, during the week it's a given you can't use it because it's dangerous. It's a liability towards sorcery. In other words, during the week you certainly can't use it. But now let's move to Shabbos. You see, on Shabbos, I have the following consideration. I can use either stones, or I can use earthenware, pottery, shards of pottery. Now, I know shards of pottery are dangerous, but halachically, it's better. Because at least it's a kli. The stones aren't a kli. So given a choice on Shabbos with a muksa item versus a non-muksa item, maybe, this is now what Rav Yochanan is saying, it'd be worth it for me to take a hit on my personal health and incur a little bit of risk and violate Shabbos less. So I'll use the Kli Cheres, which may be a personal risk, but it's less of a Shabbos issue. So to that, what Rav Yochanan now is saying is, don't take that into consideration. On Shabbos, much like during the week, you should use stones and not pottery, because pottery is dangerous, either because it's a physical danger or it's a metaphysical danger, whatever the danger is. On Shabbos as well, take the same consideration into mind. Don't use earthenware, don't use the shards of pottery, but rather use stones on Shabbos as well. Even though on Shabbos it's a muktzah issue, ignore the muktzah issue on this front. Yes. No. In other words, they still remain muksa, even after they're used. But for the purpose of kavod abrios, kavod abrios is going to override the issa muksa. So, shapidam kamash malan. Rava masalam ishum asharas nimen v'kashale d'Rav Yochanan d'Rav Yochanan. Now, when Rava learned the statement of Rav Yochanan, he actually learned that it was going on hasharas nimen, meaning he thought that the issue for Rav Yochanan was that you may cut some of the hair in the area, and the cutting hair on Shabbos is a malacha, and that's why Rav Yochanan says he can't use shards on Shabbos. What bothered then Rava is basically, how do you fit Rav Yochanan into another statement to Rav Yochanan? So, v'kashle to Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan asal kanek v'chares b'Shabbos, amad davashem is kavan asar. It comes out that Rav Yochanan would take the side of Rabbi Yehuda, that a davashem is kavan is asar, and meanwhile, v'am Rav Yochanan halacha kistam mishnah. The halacha follows an anonymous mishnah, v'tanan, and we learned in the mishnah, nazir chofifu mefasfes, avalosarek, a nazir, can rub his hair vigorously. He can mefasface. Disentangle. Yeah, all right, right. Untangle the hair. You can't comb your hair with a fine tooth comb. Now, what's the issue? As we know, Nazir is not allowed to cut his hair. Not only is a Nazir not allowed to cut his hair, he's not allowed to remove his hair. So, if you rub your hair vigorously, or if you disentangle your hair, maybe some hairs will come out, but that's a maybe. And that's not your intent. And that's what's called the davishan miskavin. If, however, you comb your hair with a fine-tooth comb, it's not maybe the hairs will come out. The hairs will definitely come out. And that falls under the category of psik resha. In the meantime, however, what we learn from this mishnah is that it's a stam mishnah. It's an anonymous mishnah. And a davishan miskavin is mutter, as long as that's not your intent. And it's not inevitable, so then it would be fine. So you see that Rav Yochanan goes like Rabbi Shimon, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, I made this observation in the past, but we can make it again. Can't make this observation enough. It's interesting that this issue of Davar Sheinu Miskaven is not exclusive to Shabbos. It's not just a Shabbos issue. It is a universal truth regarding all Isurim in the Torah. Look, we're talking not here about Shabbos, we're talking about a Nazir. Where there's a Nazir, it has a general prohibition of not removing hair. And we're talking now about the concept of Davar Sheina Miskaven. So you see that Davar Sheina Miskaven is not limited to Shabbos, it's a universal truth regarding all Isurim. What Rabbi Shimon's always going to tell you, Davar Sheina Miskaven is Mutter. And Rabbi Yehuda will say, Davar Sheina Miskaven is Aser. Good. In the meantime, however, it is a problem for Rav Yochanan, because it comes out now that he holds, like the Stam Mishnah, Davar Sheina Miskaven is Mutter, so why should his prohibition of using the shards of pottery on Shabbos have anything to do with the cutting of the hairs that is not intended? It's the Davar Sheina Miskaven, so why should he say it's Aser? How do you resolve the two statements of Rav Yochanan? The Gemara says that's difficult. El machvar tekid Rabbi Nasan bar Oshia. Let's go back to the first pshat, meaning this pshat is in fact difficult. The Rabbi Nasan bar Oshia pshat, which is that this has to do with, I might have thought on Shabbos that using the shards is better than the stones because the shards is a kli, stones are not a kli. And the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan is no, on Shabbos use the stones, don't use the shards, even though it's not a kli at all. Okay. It, in other words, as long as it has some use to it, it's still going to be considered a kli. Okay, now, can we understand this kshafim any better? Maybe. I mean, we're going to read the Gemara. The Gemara is going to try to help us understand a little bit better what the kishuf is, what the sorcery magic is. My kshafim, you all know the general issue. What's the Rambam going to do with these Gemaras? That's a general issue. Comes up time and again. Rambam does not believe in witchcraft and sorcery at all. Says it's all nonsense. Says it's all sleight of hand. Now that's true by our performers, you know, who perform magic. But the Rambam says even by the non-performers. Meaning there's no such thing as magic out there. So says the Rambam on a number of occasions. So how does he understand our Gemaras? Okay, that always becomes an issue. Now, my observation, the Vilna Gaon makes this observation as well. Rambam is just going to have so many problems with so many Gemaras. But anyway, Mike Shafim Kiyad Rav Chisav Rabba Rav Huna Havuka Azle Barba. Gemara tells the following story regarding Rav Chista and Rav Abba Rav Huna were on a boat. Amaluhu Machinusa, so there was this woman. And she was a non-Jewish woman, so says Rashi. And she was a witch. Osvan Bahadaicha. So she says, let me join you, says the witch. Velo usvua. So they said, no, we'd really prefer not for you not to join us. I mean, look, you're a witch. So the Amra Ihi Milsa, so she started doing her incantation. Asrasa La'arva, and the boat now froze in its spot. The boat did not move, because she cast the spell on the boat. Amra, Inu, Milsa. Now, they also incantated. Now, am I speaking proper English? And now, what did they say? So, obviously, I do not know that information, and even if I did, I'm not sharing it with you. But Rashi says, Ayat Shem Tahara. They used some sort of pure name. Okay, I will not divulge more information than that, simply because I can't. But the Amru Inu Milsu Sharyuha, and the boat started moving. Okay, so spell versus spell, and their spell was stronger. So Amru Lehu Mayi Avi Lehu. So she says, now what can I do? Meaning, I'm beaten. And she now is going to admit why it is that they were more powerful than her. Now on the top of Pebez Amad Aleph. You don't wipe yourself with earthenware, with pottery shards. And you never kill a louse while it's on your clothing. And what you never do is you never, after the vegetables get bundled together, you never take one from the bundle without untying it. Now, all these activities, these three activities that are just mentioned, if a person engages in any three of these activities, he becomes more susceptible to magic. They, Rav Chista and Rav Abba Rav Huna, did not engage in these activities, are therefore impervious to any type of witchcraft and sorcery, as is demonstrated in the story. I'm like Ravuna Larava Bere, my time lo shchicha kamei de Rav Chista, de mechada dan shmaite. So Ravuna says to his son Rabba, you know, you should be spending more time in the shir of Rav Chista, mechada tin shmaite. He's a sharp one, he knows Torah, you should be spending more time in his yeshiva. Amarle my azala gabe. So he says, really? I need to go to his yeshiva, learn by him? You know what we're talking about? Basically yesterday's daf and today's daf. And we're talking now about personal hygiene. That's the conversation we're having. And that's what I need to hear. I need to go to the yeshiva to hear that. Here's what I hear when I go to his shir. I hear that when you go to the bathroom, don't try to force it out. Don't push too hard, because, and he describes in unbelievable detail that, you know, at the end of the rectum you have the sphincter, the muscle, and it's like three teeth he describes. He doesn't literally mean teeth, obviously, in other words, but basically it's shaped like teeth, it's formed like teeth, its hold is like a teeth. I don't know the biology well enough. So, and what's going to happen is that if you push too hard, you force too hard, so you're gonna really harm the muscle. Vasili de sakana, that's a sakana. This is what I hear when I go to his shir. And now you really want me to go back there? So I'm alay who asik bechaye de briyasa. He says, for a moment, don't think that that's not important. In fact, it's not unimportant. It's chaye de briyasa. This is life and death that we're talking about over here. You absolutely need to go to shir. Va'atamart b'mili d'ama. And you're just saying they're words? They're not just words. These are really important issues. Kol shekein zila gabe. Now I'm telling you, as your father, you go to shir. You go to Rav Chista shir. You listen to Rav Chista, anything he says. Right? Just, it's all life and death matters. Ha'ilafan of tzur v'cheres. The Gemara continues with this discussion. No, and then, right, after having gotten this musa from the Gemara, you think to yourself, okay, enough already? No. We have more on this topic. Ha'ilafan of tzur v'cheres. So here's your choices in front of you. You have now, in the bathroom, the followings to wipe yourself with. Either a stone or earthenware. Now, right, you're good. You hit one of the issues of this Gemara. What are we talking about? Are we talking about during the week, or are we talking about on Shabbos? The Gemara is not clear, and Rashi offers both explanations as plausible explanations of our Gemara. Rashi's first explanation, Mekanech Betzror, Rashi says that we're talking about on Shabbos, meaning that the consideration over here, the issue over here, is a Shabbos consideration, and over here again, it goes similar to what we described earlier, where look, the stone is more muksa than the shard, than the pottery shard, and so therefore, should I use the more muksa item? Or should I use the item that's less dangerous to me? Similar to how we described earlier. That's Rashi's first pshat in the Gemara. Rashi later on does offer another pshat as well. In the meantime, however, we're just going to go with this pshat as it does kind of fit into the context of our Gemara, and it is Rashi's first pshat. Okay, so let's see the Gemara again inside. So, ha'ilafan etzor v'cheres, Rav Huna amar mekanech betzor. Ve'ein mekanech b'cheres. So Rav Huna's position is, use the stone. Not the earthenware, not the pottery. Rav Chista amar mekanech becheres ve'in mekanech betzur. Now Rav Chista goes the other way. Says no, use the pottery. Don't use the stone. Meis ve'ayilafan etzur becheres mekanech becheres ve'in mekanech betzur. So here we have a braisa, and the braisa says very clearly, you use the pottery and not the stone. So tiyufta de Rav Huna. So the Gemara says this now presents a difficulty for Rav Huna. Tirgama Rav and Bar Papa, Kamei de Rav Chista, Aliba de Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, in defense of Rav Huna, Beugnei Kalim. Yeah, there, we're talking about Ugnei Kalim, the rim. meaning the rim of the pottery. Now, what makes the rim of the pottery any better? So it's a smooth area, it's not a sharp area, and so therefore it no longer poses a threat whatsoever, any type of danger whatsoever. And then we're left with an issue of, well, now the stone is more muksa than the pottery, and the pottery is not a threat, a sakana whatsoever. So use the pottery and don't use the stone. What about the kishuf issue, which the Gemara made earlier? I don't know. The Gemara kind of leaves the kishuf issue out of the equation over here. Ha'ilafanav sorva asavim. Now let's see your choices the following. Stones or grass? So we have a machlokus once again. So one position is use the stones. No, the other way. Use the grass and not the stones. If you wipe yourself with a flammable item, anything that can catch fire, so shina v'tachton achtatonis nashros. So once again, it will adversely affect your sphincter muscle. So lakasha ablach nabiyevation. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you, if the grass is wet and therefore it's not flammable and it will not catch fire, so that's fine. So then you can use that. Not only can you use that, it's preferable to use that than a stone. But if the grass is dry and now it's flammable, so do not use that, but rather use the stone over the grass. Okay? It should prompt now the Gemara that we just learned the following basic question. If you haven't already figured it out. The Gemara says, without flinching, that for personal hygiene and bathroom matters, you should not use anything which is flammable, but rather you should use either a stone, smooth pottery, grass which is wet, but in other words, but nothing flammable. Happens to be the minug. I know, now this is real, now we're real bathroom talk, but the minug is to use toilet paper. And this is not a recent phenomena. This has been now the minug for years, centuries. So on what basis do we do this? Meaning it seems to be that we have ignored this Gemara totally. And I'm speaking about, you know, all sectors of Jews. So what happened over there? So this question already was dealt with by the Rama in the 16th century, where he doesn't have a good answer in terms of why it is that we use toilet paper, but he does quote the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Shomer pesayim Hashem." God watches over fools, meaning sometimes we act foolishly, like using toilet paper. And so the Rama says, okay, Shomer pesayim Hashem, but God watches over fools. It's the Gemara does not approve of such behavior, but what can we say? That's what we do. Yes.
Steinfeld quotes the Yerushalmi, which says it just reverse.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He says in there. Jerusalem Talmud, the opposite is stated.
Why that they
may not wipe with a non-flammable.
Did not know this Yerushalmi. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. That helps our cause a little bit.
What's the rationale?
I don't know the rationale.
What's the rationale?
I don't know the rationale either way. Perhaps if it's flammable, meaning it's dry, it's abrasive, maybe. But that's not the explanation, because stones are dry and abrasive, and the Gemara. Okay, and I don't know. Okay, let's leave it off like that. I simply do not know. Did Tanya come on? I'm sorry. Hanitzrach lefanos. Okay, I'm back. We're in the middle of Pei Beis Amud Aleph. We're halfway down the Amud. Last two words in the line. Hanitzrach lefanos veinu nifna. You need to go to the bathroom and you hold it in. Gemara says bad, not good. So Rav Chista Ravina Chad Amar. But now the Gemara is describing. Now what kind of bad are we talking about? Ruach ra sholatas bo. So it'll result in bad breath. The Chad Amar ruach zuama sholatas bo. It'll result in just general bad body odor. Tanya command Amar ruach zuama sholatas bo. The Gemara quotes the Brisa, which supports the second position. Did Tanya nisuch on the kav avochel dom latano shisiku agav afro. Somebody who eats without relieving himself first, meaning the Gemara strongly endorses that before sitting down for a large meal, go to the bathroom. relieve yourself, and then eat. And if you don't do that, you know what it's like? It's like relighting the oven. Now, lighting the oven means putting a layer of coals and lighting the coals. But what you didn't do is you didn't clear out the old coals. So there you are now, laying it on top of a pile of ashes and putting the new coals on top of a pile of ashes. And it's a health nish. It's not going to work. It's not going to be good. Same thing with the body. If you eat a meal without going to the bathroom, so it's like lighting a fire on top of old ashes. And the Bryce ends off by saying, bad body odor will result from that. Now, the Gemara here says, what if you're a little bit constipated? What do you do? Amar Rav Chista, unbelievable timing, isn't it? It's really, you walked in at right when it got good. So Amar Rav Chista, Yamo V'yeshev, Yamo V'yeshev. So what do? Manipulation, physical manipulation. Get up, sit down, get up, sit down. You move a little bit. Moving helps you move. So Rav Chanan Menar Damar, Yistalek Lipstadin. Literally, you jump to the side. So in other words, Rashi says, basically, sounds very similar to what we just said. You hop around. You go to this corner. You go to that corner. In other words, you move around. Get the body moving. Rav Hamnuna, Amar Yishamish Bitzror. Vaosa Makom. So Rav Hamnuna talks about actual physical manipulation of that area with a stone. He says, that's how you get yourself to move. V'Rabbanan Amar Yasiach Daito. And the Chachamim say, forget about it. Don't worry. The Gemara says, what does that mean? What does that mean, don't think about it? Meaning, what?
Because you think about it, you're not...
Okay, good. So good. So you say, I enjoy your pshat in the Chachamim. Anyway, the Gemara is going to give a slightly different pshat. Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav la Rav Ashi, kol shekein d'chi masach deita lo mafnei. He says, what do you mean? If you forget about it, so you're not going to go to the bathroom. What does that mean, don't forget about it? Amalei, yasich deita mitzvar macherim. The Gemara says, no. The problem is that you're thinking about other things. Right? In other words, you got to concentrate and focus. And what are you worried about now? You're worried about your portfolio. You're worried about your... In other words, forget about all your other life issues. Right now, focus. You need to go to the bathroom. Just focus. So, Amrav Yermi Amidifti Lididi Chazilei Hutai Dekam V'yasev V'kam V'yasev. And the Gemara gives now first-hand testimony. Rav Yermia sees an Arab. And what does he do? He gets up, he sits down, he gets up, he sits down. He really, real physical manipulation. Ad shafach kedera, and he was pouring out like a kedera. Okay. Tana Rabbanan nechnas asuda kavayalech yud pa'amim shal arba amos. The Gemara ends the discussion with something that we've heard already in Shas, even after we started. This Gemara is in Brachos. Right around all the Balkari discussion. You go to the bathroom. And so what do you do? So what you should do is, before sitting down for a meal. Sorry. Hanichnas l'seuda. And a seuda is keva, meaning it's a real sit-down meal. So what you should do first is walk 10 times 4 amos. In other words, each one of those times works 4 amos, total of 40 amos, right about 80 feet, approximately. Right? Third of a... 80 feet, so I was going to say a third of a football field, not even, or whatever. So the, about a third of a football field. The Amri La, Dalapam, Shalasa Amos, and some say 4 times 10 Amos, okay, speaking same total distance, just how to walk that distance, Vinifna, and then go to the bathroom, in other words, and well, essentially what the Bryce is saying is now you can go to the bathroom because now you've walked, now you've did some physical manipulation, and you'll be able to go to the bathroom, Vinifna, Vyeshev, Vimkomo, and then go sit down and now eat in, and you're good to go. Okay. Now we could say, Ad Khan, that is the end of the discussion, that's the end of our bathroom talk for the day. That was an extensive discussion in the Gemara. It covered most of Daf Pei Aleph, half of Daf Pei Beis. Okay, it's a lot of Gemara dedicated to going to the bathroom, relieving yourself, proper bowel movement. And as the Gemara said earlier, I'm going to remind you and me what the Gemara said earlier. I don't want to go hear this. What do I need to hear this for? The Gemara says, no, you need to hear it. It's life and death. Matters of life and death. The mission, the final Mishnah of the 8th parak of Shabbos, Cheres Kedelitein Bein Patzim L'Chaveiro, Diver of Yehuda. Once again, now we're back to our Shurim. And we are now discussing how much cheres do you need to carry on Shabbos in order to be chayav. So on this, there's a machlokus. Rav Yehuda's position is kedei litein bein patzim lechavero. Right, you go to Lowe's, you go to Home Depot. I don't want to advertise for either one in particular. So you go to either one of them, and what you'll see is that when they stack the lumber one on top of the other, sometimes it's uneven, so they stick in a little piece over here and there in order to make it even. So the cheres that we're describing over here is enough to place between the boards in order to make them even. That's not a lot of cheres. But remember, this is the opinion of Rav Yehuda. We have said now, I'd say three times in this perek, Rav Yehuda is always going to be the more machmir shir. Rabbi Meir Omer ke delachtos bos or. Rabbi Meir says enough to hold the fire. In other words, you're actually going to contain the fire, hold the fire with the kli cheres. Sounds like a larger piece.
Rabbi Yossi says
enough earthenware where it can hold a revius of liquid. So in other words, the earthenware has to obviously be in a cup shape. In other words, then it's able to hold a quarter of a log of liquid, about 4 ounces of liquid. Now, Rav Meir says, look, I don't have absolute proof that I'm correct, but I will quote a pasuk in Yeshayahu. We're in the 30th parak of Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu, as I'm sure everyone knows, forecasts the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Appropriate that we are one day away from Asar B'Teves, and we reference this pasuk describing the Churban HaBayis, and the pasuk says, Lo yimatzei b'machtito cheresh lachtos eish miyakud. So the pasuk says that the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim will be so destroyed that you won't even find a shred of shrapnel, of earthenware, to pick up the fire from the furnace. So in other words, you see that the function of shards of earthenware is to pick up a fire. Okay? So that's what you get from the pasuk. So Amalei Rav Yossi. So Rav Yossi says, Misham Raya, wait a second. That's interesting. Quoting a pasuk from Yeshayahu to support your position, how about read on the pasuk? Right, let's just go further. V'lach sof mayim migava. And also, you know what you won't find? You won't find earthenware to pick up a little bit of liquid, a little bit of water. So you see also that the purpose of earthenware, shards of earthenware, is to basically hold liquid. So I'm quoting the same pasuk, and I arrived at my conclusion. So in other words, the pasuk you quote is no better proof for you than it is for me. Now, Mistaber derabbi Shira derabbi Yossi nafish umikra Shira derabbi Meir nafish. So the Gemara says, you know, it sounds like Rav Yossi Shir is bigger, but meanwhile from the pasuk it sounds like it's smaller. Yeah. Now why? Because think about what the pasuk is saying. The pasuk is saying the Churban HaBayis is going to be terrible. Everything is going to be destroyed, not destroyed, but smashed to the point where you're not going to find a shard to pick up fire, and you're not even going to find a shard to pick up a bowl of water. Right? So in other words, as the pasuk is forecasting the doom and the destruction, in other words, it's getting smaller and smaller. That's the way it sounds like from the pasuk, but Gemara says it's hard to entertain. The sequence of the pasuk is not, you're not going to find a small shard and you're not even going to find a big one. That doesn't make any sense. The curse in the pasuk sounds like we're getting smaller and smaller. So Amar Abayim Asti Zanami Lachtos Eshmi Kida Gadola. So the Gemara's answer is very simple. Okay, so it could be that when describing the earthenware to pick up a fire, we're not talking about a little fire. We're talking about Yikida Gadola. We're talking about this great fire. So in other words, it is a larger piece of earthenware in order to pick up this great fire. In other words, a real bonfire. But and then the revius, and then the shard to pick up the revius, that would be in fact smaller. Now Rav Yossi Amar Misham Raya Shapi Kamalei Rav Yossi L'Rabbi Meir V'Rabbi Meir Lo Mibayi Kamer. Now how's Rav Meir going to explain the pasuk? Because the pasuk does sound like the purpose of an earthenware, the shards of earthenware is A, to to pick up a fire, and B, to pick up some liquid. What's Rabbi Meir going to do with Rav Yossi's point? So the Gemara says, the way Rabbi Meir understands the pasuk is lomi bai kamar. It's a style. Lomi bar mide dechashiv lein shedal ishtaklei. Look, the general use and the main use of earthenware shards of pottery, is to pick up a fire. And that the Navi tells us you're not going to find. But even the more abnormal use of picking up liquid, the Navi tells us that we're not going to find as well. The Chorban Abayis is going to be that terrible. That is the end of the 8th parak of Shabbos. And now as we're about to enter into the 9th parak of Shabbos, so just a couple of brief words of introduction. The 9th parak of Shabbos is a bit of a tour of Shas having very little to do with Masechta Shabbos. What's the connection between the 9th parak of Shabbos and what we've been learning up until now? I'll explain that in just a second a little bit better. As we get towards the end of the 9th parak, we resume our discussion of Shabbos and carrying and Melachos Shabbos, but at least now for the next couple of days, we're really going off the board. We're going to be talking about Tumah of Avodah Zarah. We're going to be talking about Tumah of a boat. We're going to be talking about Kalayim and how to plant, how to not violate the Issur of Kalayim. All right, we're really Poletet Shechva Zarah Daf Pei Vav. Ooh, big daf. Okay, we're really going off the board. Why does Rav Yehuda HaNasi do that? So in this particular case, in other words, usually, let's just go with, first of all, the default. He's super organized. Meaning, what makes the Mishnayos so special is that, as you see, in other words, as we learn a Masechta, so we usually are on task and focusing on Hilchot Shabbos. And sometimes, like here, this is a perfect example, now for the next 4 or 5 Mishnayos, we're really going to go just hit like range way all over the place. And here in this particular case, we just quoted a pasuk in Yeshayahu. The pasuk says, "Lo yimtza b'machtitzo cheresh lachtos esh miyikud, v'lachsof mayim migava." So once we quoted that pasuk in Yeshayahu, so Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi and his Mishnah say, and these are other things that are going to be generated from psukim, not necessarily halacha connected to the psukim, but halacha that are associated with psukim, what we would call asmachta, right? The whole idea of asmachta is that I have a halacha that is associated with a particular pasuk, even though it's not actually connected to the pasuk. You'll see what I mean as we go through this. I'm Rabbi Akiva. We start with the first mishnah of the 9th parak of Shabbos. Minayin la'avodah zarah shematameh b'masa. Avodah zarah gives off tumah. Now, we know avodah zarah is one of the most serious Isurim of the Torah. Right? Avodah Zarah is one of the 3 Isurim of the Torah where a person is supposed to give up his life for. Now, Avodah Zarah, we talk about Avodah Zarah. To us, it's a difficult discussion in that we don't know much of Avodah Zarah nowadays. But Avodah Zarah, however, once you have something which is used for Avodah Zarah, either it is the deity itself or Tashmishi Avodah Zarah, something used as an accessory for Avodah Zarah, so then the Torah says it must be destroyed. And not only is it to be destroyed, but as we're about to now discuss over the course of our first discussion in the 9th parak, it also is going to give off tumah. It will be a source of tumah. Now, to what degree of tumah? Well, it's going to be a little bit unclear. The Torah never speaks about Avodah Zarah being an ava tumah, being a source of tumah. And as we will discuss over the course of this first sugya, maybe that it might not even be a tumah d'oraisa, it may only be a tumah d'rabbanan. We will discuss this. In the meantime, however, I'm Rabbi Akiva, minayin la'avodah zarah shematameh b'masa. Rabbi Akiva says that if you have avodah zarah, it's going to give off tumah, and afilu b'masa, even when you carry it. There are 3 ways of contracting tumah: maga, touch; masa, carrying; and ohel, being under the same roof. Now, Tumas Ohel is limited to mace and to tzaras. Okay, those are the only 2 things that give off Tumas Ohel. Maga is for sheretz. Masa, carrying, is for nida, shechvat zera, and according to Rabbi Akiva, avodah zera as well. Minam avodah zera shematame b'masa kenida shenemar tizarem kemo davar tsei tomar lo. The pasuk in Yeshayahu from the same perek that we just quoted in the previous Mishnah tells us that when you see avodah zera tizarem, send it out kemo davar. Like a dava. Dava over here from the same word as nida. Say tomar lo. You say get it out. Ma nida metame b'masa. Avodah zara metame b'masa. Now we know that a nida gives off tomas masa. So does avodah zara. So the Mishnah speaks of the idea that avodah zara gives off tomas masa. Let's say your house is contiguous to a house of avodah zara. Wow, what terrible luck! Meaning, moving right next door to you, and not just next door to you, but we're talking about basically, you know, garden apartments. It's like you're sharing a wall, and so right next door to you is a house of avodah zara. And let's even say that you didn't. In other words, the avodah zara came after you got there. Anyway, the wall falls down. Vanaf also live no so. You're not allowed to rebuild that wall because now what you're doing is not only are you building your wall, you're building the wall of avodah zara. Ketzad yase konesu sochshelo dal amos ubona. So now what you have to do is you retract 4 amos within your property. So now you're going to lose 4 amos of property line, and you're going to build hayu shalosh v'shel avodah zara. Let's say it was a joint wall. Half of it was yours, half of it was avodah zara. Nido mechza mechza. Avon ve'etzav afra mitamim kisheretz. And the stones and the wood, all the actual structure that's used to build is going to be treated like a sheretz. Shenemar shaketz teshaktsenu. Rabbi Kiva omer kenida. And Rabbi Kiva says, no. It's not going to give off tumas sheretz, it's going to give off tumas nida. Shenemar tezareim kemo dava. Ma nida mitame b'masa. Okay, so you see here we have a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim to what degree avodah zara gives off tumah. We are all in agreement that avodah zara gives off tumah. Just a question of to what degree. Rabbi Akiva says masa. The Chachamim say maga, and we'll explain much more of this as we go through tomorrow's daf. וחנן בן הקשמר וצקשבח וזקר סופי חכיר במטור מסושנמה נחפץ המעסיקו יגדיל תורה וידיר